to the broadcast called American Exposé, reestablished here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Chris Gerner, and we were with Hanza Molina. You're very familiar with Hanza, as we've been a regular guest together for quite a while now, and Red Cocaine author Joseph Douglas. We see here in Financial Times, China and Russia joint exercises to strengthen ties. Nearly 10,000 troops are to take part in an unprecedented joint military exercise by China and Russia this month, aimed at strengthening ties between the armed forces of the two powers that were once bitter foes. That comes from the Financial Times. Then we see here, U.S. will monitor Beijing-Moscow military exercises from the Washington Times, dated today, August 4th. And so they dubbed it Peace Mission 2005. The August 18th to 25th exercises between the two Cold War rivals will involve about 10,000 troops, as well as Russian fighter planes and paratroopers, and China's growing nuclear submarine fleet. Dr. Douglas, what is your read on this that we're hearing about?
I guess there's a my first reaction is it's good to hear somebody recognize that there was a lot of a split between the Soviet Union and China, and it was not a deception, although many people believe it was. But more interesting, I think that in looking at this the Soviet Union and Chinese cooperation, I find that fascinating. I certainly in the past would have said, watch out, because China is only for one person or one country, and that's China. And the Soviet Union, Russia, if you will, has only been out for one person, and that's our country, and that's Russia. So if they're working together, it's sort of like more the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and does not indicate that there's a wonderful a marriage here developing between Russia and China. They are both, I would guess, bitter enemies and will be for many, many a time.
Really?
That would be my impression of it.
Hanza, what's your thought about it?
I think that the situation is a little more complex than that. I believe that Russians routinely lied to their allies. I would say that as far as I'm concerned, this is one communist plot. No matter how they present themselves to kill people while they fighting, among themselves, it's not a problem for the communists, and if it only costs human lives, so be it. The important thing for them is the ideology and strategic implication of that ideology, of the ideology around the world. And so, they routinely lied to their allies about their plans in order that the Russians wanted to further this, more, how should I put it, I'd say better, and better results. What I'm saying is, I think that sometimes they even lied to for example, Czechoslovak intelligence or Czechoslovak defense council in order that some of this stuff might be understood in that way. Also, this, as far as the KGB defector, Major Anatoly Golitsyn says, there were routine visits among China and the Soviet Union during those times. And the cooperation today continues as far as China helping in the all-out fight against the hated capitalists, which, is mostly the United States.
Stay with us. We'll be continuing this broadcast in the next hour here that we're in, 800-313-9443. According to this information regarding U.S. will monitor Beijing-Moscow military exercises, it says here Russian officials have been wary of being dragged into the Taiwan dispute, insisting that the war games are not directed against a third party. They also say here, Moscow and Beijing share an interest in curbing U.S. influence in Central Asia, where the Pentagon has established several military bases in the wake of the war in Afghanistan. More generally, both capitals have endorsed a multipolar world, an implicit challenge to U.S. economic and military dominance. It also says defense ministers from the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, a new grouping of six Central Asian nations dominated by China and Russia, have been formally invited to observe the games. Why do you think these are going on, Dr. Douglas, right now?
Gee, I haven't sliced that idea, Chris.
Not sure. Okay.
No, it's I suspect they're interested in their own attention and in making sure that people realize that it's just not one superpower out there, but that the situation is much more complex than that. What will actually happen and where they're headed, I don't know. And Hanzo was right in his comment, because we really don't, none of us have all the answers, and the communists have their own way of thinking. And they do definitely work together, even though they may not be really friendly. And certainly I don't think the Soviet Union ever looked kindly upon their allies. That's why they always had so many people over there to keep them under control and didn't mind putting them on the front lines and in the plans for war in Europe, recognizing that they'd be killed in the first 15 minutes of the war. So the way they operate. At the same time, I always thought that Marx had a very good observation when he wrote that it would be a disaster if communism were first established in Russia, because they would exploit it for their own imperialist ambitions.
I see.
So you have both things coming in here.
I'm sorry?
You have both things coming in here, and certainly joint military maneuvers have a morale and a public relations and, you will, war of the words role that they play, as did the U.S. exercises.
And in your book, Chapter 9, Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil, this is regarding the book Red Cocaine that Dr. Douglas wrote, listeners, you refer to the Golden Triangle, and you state in here, in 1969, President Nixon declared a war on drugs. One of the first actions taken was to identify the sources of the problem. In one effort, analysis of the Central Intelligence Agency began looking at the drug trafficking that was emanating from Southeast Asia, drawing on a massive amount of detail from a wide array of sources. The first map was drawn of the Golden Triangle that was regarded as the main source of drugs and narcotics. The triangle included parts of Thailand, Burma, Laos, and especially the Yunnan province, China, as shown by the solid line here in Figure 2. What is your read on the Golden Triangle from back then, and how is it relevant to today, being that a good portion of that country, especially Vietnam, has been communized? What is your read on all this today, Dr. Douglas?
Well, the drugs have been one of the communists' main weapons against the West, the rest of the world, since they came into being. The first country, China, picked up drugs as a use in 1949. We saw that effect here, and they saw it in Japan. And then the Soviet Union picked it up in 1955, and we saw a tremendous increase when they really went operational in 1960. It started, and it was clear in the map. China has always been into the drug business ever since they were put there by the British.
In the 1930s?
No, in the latter half of the, actually in the 1700s, latter half of the 1700s, and up through the opium wards of 1840 through 1857 time frame.
I see.
So, you know, China was not a drug-ridden country. The British started moving drugs against the Chinese because they had a balance of payments problems, because they were buying all the Chinese products, spices and silks, and the Chinese didn't care for the British products, so they didn't buy them. So they started trafficking drugs in them, and really very interesting aspect because of the drug problem and how it works today. There was not a market in China to speak of. And the British therefore had to cut their prices way below what it cost them and load them off on a bunch of the criminals in China, who then worked hard for several years to develop a market for the drugs. And then ultimately then there became a market, and that's when the opium trafficking really started rising significantly into China and became the whole source of the opium wars. And when you look at these operations of the organized crime and the drug trafficking, people too often tie those operations as emanating from the crooks and criminals without recognizing that sometimes the people that are behind them are not the crooks and criminals, but the most respected people in our society.
And there's the problem.
I have a question. I'm reading from the Red Cocaine, and as far as the as a quote from page 72, the 1967 report addressed the importance of using minorities to speed up the revolutionary process.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And that's I see this really as an important thing. Let me quote real quick. The thesis of the report was that drugs pushed into the minorities would create incurable political destruction. The estimate presented in the report was that by year 2000, people with a lack of morals created mainly through drugs, people who were willing to take whatever measures were necessary to support the revolution, would have expanded to encompass an estimated 42% of the population. That's talking about America, right?
Yes.
That's very significant of today, that we don't really understand that the Russians used, as far as, you know, what do you published in the Red Cocaine, that the Russians viewed the drug problem as sort of like chemical warfare against America.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, there's a gentleman that wrote a book on the Chinese use of drugs when they became a communist and referred to it as another form of chemical warfare. Trumbull was his name. But that the use of minorities is a tremendous way they operated, precisely as you were talking about before, Hansa, where they have somebody else that does their dirty work so that their involvement doesn't get noticed.
And, they use the people from Jamaica, from Cuba, of course, training people in Angola and all over. What is interesting to me is, Dr. Douglas, that they also were interested in promoting the blacks and Hispanics into the management levels to penetrate the management level. And I'm sort of puzzled about the situation in America. I reported on my website that, for example, the Russians were interested in buying strategic, namely oil, and other industries in America, and I reported the sale of our only platinum mine in Stillwater, Montana, to Russian Norilsk Nickel Company, which is owned by the Russian state. And I was wondering if there's possibility, since there were reports that the mine, the management was sort of doing some kind of weird business. If there is any kind of possibility that this could be part of the problem, that the management was in fact compromised, or it could be allegedly compromised into making this kind of decision that is totally against the national security of America.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. I have not looked into that particular situation, but you see a lot of corruption, a lot of compromise is really making some of these decisions you can't understand, otherwise makes sense.
Yeah, you also reported that the banks, the Russians had interest in infiltrating the banks for money laundering in the book. I find it very fascinating because as far as the case of the U.S. taxpayers' money being laundered through the Bank of New York, where the main people involved were Russian nationals working for the bank, and also the involvement of giving Russia our U.S. money during the Clinton administration when a person like Al Gore was involved together with KGB criminal Yevgeny Primakov. That's what I found really as far as the strategy. watching what the Moscow wanted to do.
Yeah, it was very interesting. You know, they were shipping millions of $100 bills right out of New York City in a Delta plane, left every afternoon, went over to Moscow, and of course, new $100 bills was a staple of international organized crime. And this was really exposed by Robert Friedman in the New York magazine, an article titled "The Money Plane." He estimated that over about a four-year period, what he knew, was at least $80 billion got shipped over to Moscow by basically the Republic Bank of New York and by the Federal Reserve, that certainly knew everything about it. Of course, we never hear what their explanation for all this was, and all we've heard is what this excellent reporter dug up, and his conclusion was that it was all going to the organized crime banks in the Soviet Union and Russia, most of which were under the control of the Mafia. And I have to leave now to take off, Chris, but it's been a wonderful afternoon with you.
Well, I certainly appreciate your time, Dr. Douglas. We'll do this again soon, I hope.
That'd be great. And good to meet you finally on the line here, Hunter.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'm grateful that you had the time to do this and appreciate what you do, Dr. Douglas. Thanks very much.
Thanks again,
My
Dr.
pleasure.
Douglas.
Thanks for bringing us all together.
Wonderful. Bye-bye now. We'll be back to continue the broadcast with Hunter. Any phone calls? Called American Exposé. I have to make an apology to Vicki, who was on hold for quite a while. I didn't see her up on the board here, and I apologize, Vicki. I'm sure I messed you up a little bit. You're welcome to call back, although we're without Dr. Douglas now. And I do apologize, Vicki. Once again, I did not see you on the board here. Let's take Dave in Arkansas. Dave, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
Oh, wishing it. Has there been any discussion yet on the Republic regarding a Bush-Cheney indictment?
I've only seen that source from Stu Webb. And is there any other source of information on that?
Yeah, I'm on Paul Andrew Mitchell's email list. His website, of course, is supremelaw.org.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it was posted up on Rumor Mail News 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Confirmed by Sherman Skolnick.
Well, are there any sources about this besides them?
Not that I have seen, because I just ran across it myself.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this is a federal grand jury.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
we need to get somebody from the federal grand jury on to talk about it.
Well, the U.S. federal prosecutor's name is Patrick Fitzgerald, Chicago Grand Jury.
Maybe we can find a way to get him on the air.
This has issued perjury and obstruction of justice indictments to the following members of the Bush administration. President, the Vice President, Bush Chief of Staff Andrew Card, Cheney Chief of Staff,
mm-hmm.
Scooter Libby, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, and former Attorney General John Ashcroft, and the imprisoned New York Times reporter Judith Miller, and former senior Cheney advisor Mary Madeline. And this reaches all the way back, Chris, to Bush-Cheney drug money laundering at MENA Airport.
Back in 85?
It reaches all the way back to MENA.
Uh-huh.
And includes the White House involvement in 911.
Well, we have to monitor this from sources that are going to cover it.
Absolutely.
I sent that to my producer, that Stu Webb information. I sent it to my producer, and I'm sure he's working on it. But
well, let's get further confirmation on it.
Yeah, and
it's
certainly
definitely in order.
If you can find the proper source to get on the air, be sure to let me know.
Well, I really wouldn't know other than what's reported here, being the U.S. federal prosecutor, of course, being a grand jury indictment thing, that'll be sealed.
Yeah.
You know, until it's released, of course.
This is going to take a long time to come to the surface, I'm sure.
Well, course, the mainstream media is not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
We've been living lies for so long.
Yeah.
And they're part of the complicity, so.
This indictment also apparently here includes sending America's young people to their deaths or to be maimed in Iraq and Afghanistan under false pretenses.
Yeah, well.
That's pretty well out in the open now.
And that's a for sure.
Yeah.
And we, once again, we got to keep in mind that our treasury is not our treasury anymore, right, Dave?
It hasn't been since 1921.
And so we're part of this international cabal now, aren't we?
Well, we've been there.
Yes.
Actually, from day one, because the first Bank of the United States, Chris, was 80% owned by
England.
Those in England.
Yeah.
House of Rothschild, Bank of England, which they controlled, and so on and so forth.
Right.
And those were 20-year charters, and that's why the War 1812 was fought, because they weren't going to renew that charter in 1811.
I understand. I tend to just take it to the Federal Reserve because I don't want to dilute and I want to increase our numbers. You know, if people can walk around with proofs of a conspiracy in their wallets all their lives and not realize, well, then they aren't deserving of understanding. But those that do understand that will help to increase our numbers of people to be aware, and that's the whole point about all this, is increasing our numbers of concerned Americans that are very, very upset about what, the way things are going, and certainly our sons and daughters going off to another Vietnam is certainly concerning many.
Well, being sold out to the globalist cabal at all, you know, that's absolute treason. Nothing more. By the way, and also indicted was British Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Oh, I'm sure.
For obstruction of justice and so on and so on.
So with this going on here and Russia and China having joint military exercises, what's your read on all this, Dave?
Well,
And keep in mind, we've got products on our store shelves made in communist China. We have our business and industry going below the border and overseas. And CAFTA being passed, NAFTA in 10 years into operation, FTAA on the horizon, or the sunset. How does all this fit into the big picture of things, Dave?
Well, I'll just bet you Joan Bion could clue us in greatly on this.
She'll be on in 4 days.
Gary Brownfield mentioned today that Joan was over at the Bank for International Settlements. And meet
right,
over there.
Right, and they're going to do a global tax on us.
Currency as well.
That's right. She'll be with us on the 8th.
See.
Any more, Dave?
That'll do it, Chris.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts. Appreciate your call, Dave. 800-313-9443. Return with Hansa and your calls. Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé, reestablished here on Republic Broadcasting. We're into the second week of this reestablished broadcast. 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. That's the pledge line, listeners, for you to pledge your support to the network. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. And Vicki, I do apologize for not bringing you on sooner. I did not see you on the board here.
Oh, that's okay. No problem.
Wonderful.
But I did have a question for Dr. Douglas. Was that his name?
That was Dr. Douglas. He's not with us now, but Hansa is.
But I'd still want to get it out there.
Please.
I watched the BRAC hearings. I don't know if you did or not.
Base realignment and closure.
Right.
Go ahead.
And it seemed to me that what they're doing is basically they're crippling our defense mechanisms. They're shutting down our best facilities. They're mixing things up. They're moving things to facilities that would be less competent, or, you know, where they don't have the facilities. And I don't know if you're familiar with Thomas Barnett or not.
I am not.
He's a military strategist at Naval Intelligence, or at least he was. But he went to work for, Art Zebrowski in the Office of Force Transformation in the DOD. Anyway, he did a presentation called Military in the 21st Century. And basically what he did was to outline a plan by which they're going to split up our military and create a global military and leave the United States with what effectively is a crippled domestic force.
I kind of think that fits into State Department Publication 7277 from 1961.
That's kind of what I wondered, because I heard you talk about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it also fits in with, you know, what's happening with the UN and all of their social engineering and disarmament. But it seems like that we're the only ones that are disarming. And another thing that happened is that for the first time in history, all of our military assets are under the command of one man, and that's the guy who is in charge of STRATCOM, which is the unit that George Bush stood up when he dissolved SAC. And it kind of seems to me like with all of this consolidation that they're doing, what they're doing is setting us up, basically.
For a fall.
To be defenseless.
Now, Mikhail Gorbachev at one time was on the BRAC Commission, Base Realignment and Closure. Now, Hansa, are you understanding what's going on here in America?
Well, yeah, but the problem is that this is only part of the strategy that Moscow is involved in. They maneuver us into accepting the collapse of communism as genuine, and therefore they still have enough, they call them agents of influence in our government, that they further these kind of policies to change America's defense abilities. And at the same time, the Russians are preparing for a major attack. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. I'm looking at the basically interview I did with a former political prisoner of Czechoslovakia and during the communist era, Peter Cibulka, and I asked him about that. And I said, my question was, can you define what is the main strategic mission of all communist and post-communist espionage services? And he says, it is the breakdown of the Western civilization, the removing of its spiritual and moral pillars, and replacing them with materialism and the consumed way of life, and ultimately subversion of such a society into a purely communist one. And so I ask him again, so how do you view, how you then see the next development of the world politics in the light of the quote, former communist strategy in politics, the Moscow former communist strategy in politics, and their intentions for the free world and the United States in particular. And his answer was very significant. Their most important objective today is to cause total breakdown of the Western world. Its moral and spiritual values, and also its economical, political, and power structures. For that, it is necessary to fundamentally weaken the Western society's middle class and limit her political role. This strategy is apparently successful. If the West is unable to stand up against this development, it will no doubt end up as the old Roman Empire. That is, it will cease to exist under the attacks of Eastern barbarians. This trend is still possible to turn around by maximal strengthening of people's freedom in the economical sphere and also in politics, and with the maximal emphasis on fulfillment and protection of the highest spiritual and moral principles of the Western society. Without that, everything will be lost. So we are watching. American people really don't understand the abilities, what the communist espionage and communist communist party of Soviet Union had, and that this is continuing and even increased during the so-called perestroika era, which we experience today. the Russians are entering into the final phase of their long-term plan.
Okay, Hans, let's see if Vicky has a response. Vicky?
Yeah, I'm wondering what it sounds like exactly what's happening. I mean, it's just right down the line because we're being attacked on low-intensity conflict on every level. So social, cultural, our education system, our military, and we're just being taken apart. And they're using greed, you know, which the basis of our society seems to be. I don't know when we lost integrity and honor, but those seem to be characteristics that have been lost. And so they're using all of the negative aspects of capitalism against us. But I'm wondering, what book is he reading from? I would like to get that.
Hansa?
Well, no, this was my interview from with Mr. Cibulka.
Is that on your website, Hansa?
It's under the link of interviews. It's one of the interviews.
It's on Hansa's website, Vicky. You know where that is?
No. Can you give that again?
It's on my website. It's the anticommunistanalyst.com.
Uh-huh.
Anti-communistanalyst.com is the website, and it's on my website and partner sites.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Vicky. Appreciate your call.
If I may, Chris,
I would like to add to it.
I translated, part of the strategy, what the communist intelligence services, their recruitment policies, and this was their policy from 1964, which was updated later on, and their recruitment policy was very simple. They hooked up people on, various cooperation. They recruited people. Foreigners, namely in the United States and the Western Europe, on they call it false flag recruitment. They pretended that they were working for a friendly intelligence service, also they analyzed the subject of recruitment as far as their moral values. They analyzed also people. As far as what they like to, what are their hobbies, and they did really thorough analysis, personal analysis of these people. I know about a case involving a German national, West German national, during the 70s. During the 80s. He was working for a German industrial company that was producing spare parts for our military bases in Germany, namely for the F-14 fighter. This gentleman was in the upper management level. They lured him into Czechoslovakia under the pretense of a short vacation weekend getaway. They drugged him, supplied prostitutes to him, filmed him, and of course he was married and had three children, and then they started blackmailing him. At the time when he finally agreed to cooperate because he didn't want this to leak out to his wife, he didn't want to lose his wife, they came back and told him that he betrayed his country, he's a traitor, and now he really has to start cooperating. So he started supplying them with blueprints of our F-14s, which they had access to, at least partially, not all of it, but at least partially they had access to. Today, you can see when you look at the latest MiG version, you can see how advanced that fighter jet is, and how the technology transfers and stealing of the Russian, the Russians, what they did, how that applies to this kind of case. And this is not an isolated case. There are thousands and thousands of cases like that. When the Russian, the KGB, and the GRU intelligence, military intelligence, were involved in these kind of operations through supplying drugs to these people, through infiltrating money laundering operations. So this is all-out strategy of the communist bloc to further their ideological goals into the West. and we are simply not able to understand it. You know, American people who have no idea what communism is all about, they simply think that this is some kind of bad deal, some corrupt people in our government. But in all out picture, it's more than that. It's the state power behind these operations, which is the state power is being run by the Kremlin. And that's the bottom line. We have to see, Chris, that we are being set up for a communist takeover. Either I disagree with the notion that it might be peaceful because, you know, why would the Russians need 200 nuclear bunker cities the size of Washington, D.C. at the price of $6 billion per bunker deep underground so they can withstand direct nuclear hits? Why would they need such a bunkers? And they built them, you know, throughout the 90s. And, of course, they cheated on the disarmament agreements with America. That was published by Warren Daily in a very excellent article. So these people are preparing for the takeover of the world. That's the bottom line. And since we see that, you know, that America doesn't understand, they know perfectly well that there's going to have to be fight, and they're willing to do it. They have no problem murdering 100 million of Americans. If they have to do it, they will do it, and they have the nuclear bombs to do it.
Isn't there a bomb that is a less destructive bomb that kills people and leaves the structures in place?
Well, are you talking about the neutron bomb?
There you go.
Well, that's more of a tactical bomb. As far as I am told, the Russians perfected its use as far as the how should I put it? They had they using it to destroy any kind of incoming nuclear missile. So you know, that's they far perfected their ABM ability to the point that. Again, they cheated on disarmament treaties, and I'm looking at what Jeff Nyquist put together, as far as it's called war preps, he put it together in 2001, and I'm reading one of these quotes here, what he has about Russia, and Russia has directed a system of national missile defense far beyond that allowed by the 1972 ABM treaty. Deploying approximately 10,000 dual-purpose mobile SAM ABMs missiles, Russia has used a loophole in the treaty to provide a powerful missile shield. Using a common-sense approach to ABM defense, Russia's interceptor missiles employ special nuclear warheads that can destroy incoming warheads without having to score a direct hit. So, you know, direct head-on hit, he says. So that would be one of the purposes for the neutron bomb, you know, as far as I'm told. I'm not exact, you know, I'm not expert in this, so
yeah.
As far as technology and stuff, so I can't really tell, but I was told that this would be the case.
Well, it's all very, very confusing. However, it's very ominous to me when you have China Ocean Shipping Company ports on the east and west coast and the Gulf of Mexico. You have the control of the Panama Canal in the hands of basically communist China through Hutchison Whampoa, a 50-year lease. This military exercise between Russia and China, shoot, why would they be doing a military exercise if they weren't planning for something, Hansa?
Right, exactly. And of course, the threats, they are openly making threats against America, including the one when America began to finally realizing that we need to protect our military satellites in the space. Russians and Chinese came back with the threat that if we put any weapons in the space, they will use force against us. So this is the true face of these people. They know that that's our strategic strategic weapon as far as the we can see what they're doing, and so that will be the first target basically when they hit us, and that's our ability to communicate and to see the enemy. And they consider us as the worst enemy there is. So these are still communist countries. China openly, Russia is pretending to be democratic, which is laughable to me. I lived in communist Czechoslovakia. I can tell when there is a freedom or not. And as far as Russia and Eastern Europe, there is no such thing as freedom. The communists control everything, control the major industries. They control the banks. Everything there is of value, the communists control. And, you know, they control the media. So there's no chance to spread any kind of information. And there's no good information coming out of there because everything is controlled as it used to be before. They just pretend to be our strategic allies. Meantime, they sell weapons to terrorists. And they control the terrorist networks as well as the Chechen Mafia, facilitator of weapons to Al-Qaeda. It's all organized by Russian FSB and the GRU. This is very well documented. Problem is, America doesn't understand what this is about, and we will pay for it.
We'll be back to continue with Hansa. You want to get involved, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. PokerFace.com is their website, listeners. That's PokerFace.com. We'll play some of that in tomorrow's broadcast. PokerFace.com is their website. Well, that 2 hours went by rather briskly, Hansa. I can't believe the show's almost over. I have to do John Stadmiller's show next. It's a two-hour broadcast, so we need to do a telephone conversation a little later when it's convenient for you. Okay, Hansa?
That's fine.
That'll be very, very good. We are in these situations, and Vicky brought up BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. Mikhail Gorbachev was on the BRAC Commission. I don't know whether he still is or not. And why in the world would Mikhail Gorbachev be on the Base Closing Commission and the Base Realignment and Closure Commission? It doesn't make any sense to me, Hansa.
Well, it does make sense to me. The Russians are very much interested in it. In closing our military bases, because the less targets they have to hit, the better for them. You know, and these people would never leave anything unnoticed. And since Gorbachev is already a known person in America, why wouldn't he, as a KGB general he is, why wouldn't he be involved in such a thing? You know, it's interesting. It would be interesting to find out who actually came with that idea. That would be very interesting to find out, to let this communist thug inside such a commission.
Yeah.
I would like to know who proposed this, because that person might have as well be that agent of influence in that commission. Because, you know, this is how it works among the, you know, in the, you know, communist espionage. And, you know, this is how they operate. They always have somebody on the inside that promotes this kind of idea. There was an idea, you know, that came through as a policy during the 1980s inside the CIA, that they were actually seeking operatives that had really, they were not without moral problems, and they were really people with loose manners and living not honest lives. And such people were recruited in that time. That's the same case. See, for somebody to be recruited as a spy for a Soviet government, for the Russian government, they have to have compromising data on the person, or the person has to already agree ideologically with the communist ideology. Of course, the person is also, after he or she is recruited, is also supplied the Marxism-Leninism ideas to prevent the person from having second thoughts. He's basically being brainwashed by his controllers. So this is how it works. When you see the policies of the State Department and of some government agencies and
Hansa, we've got someone. We've got a caller. Let's take this caller real quickly. Welcome to the broadcast, caller.
Are you talking to me, Chris?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Chris, I'd like to, I'm not quite sure what Hans is getting at here. I'm getting confused.
Why did you
waste? I understand this. He would suggest that there is a strategic global game going on between the communists and the West.
Why do you keep calling? Why do you call in at the end of the show? We've been here all this time. Why do you call at the end of the show? It's over. We can't take your call. Oh, this is ridiculous. We'll be back tomorrow. Hansa, thank you for being with me, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You know, when these callers call in at the end of the show, we can't get anywhere. Stay tuned. I'm going to be doing John Stadtmiller's broadcast. We'll be on momentarily with Ed Waller. Thank you.